Hi, I'm Hobie.
I'm G.
I'm Strangey.
Why is that funny?
Oh, God. This is Tales of Togger, a WhatsApp group podcast packed full of absolute nonsense and some football. Like and subscribe, is that what they say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah? How do they like and subscribe?
Just like, and I don't know, mate.
We don't know. Just that'll do.
Go to Tales of Togger Twitter. I'll post the link.
Like it. And we're live. Back with the first official episode of Tales of Togger. My name's Toby and I'm joined by G. Say hello, G.
All right, mate.
And Strangey.
Hiya, guys.
We are the three morons that have decided that we're going to do a podcast on all things Togger. Why? Why would anyone listen to this sham, let's be honest?
Well, I listened back to the pilot and it was shoddy, weren't it?
Do you think so?
Yeah, well, we had Strange Ways headphones played havoc for the first half hour.
So it was budget, that, wasn't it? I mean, if you couldn't get more budget, it's trying to use your dad's Bluetooth earpiece. Why are you still living at home? I don't understand.
They're not my dad's, but I'll admit it was budget. You know, I tried something, it didn't work, we move on. This is the first official episode. The pilot's there to iron out the kinks, G. You're being critical.
It's a very good point, but sorry, why are you still living with your dad?
I don't live with my dad. I don't even like my dad.
I'll say that, he might be listening.
Yeah, that's unfair, that. Come on.
Fuck, he hasn't supported any of my life choices. Why would he start now?
Oh, dear. So we've got three topics that we're going to get through today, but I thought let's start with how our respective teams did at the weekend. George, over to you. Blackburn Rovers, talk to me, mate.
Right, I didn't know you were going to say this because I genuinely don't want to talk about it. It was awful, mate. It really was bad.
So with a bit of context, what the listeners wouldn't know is that you were ridiculously excited at the end of deadline day. You made lots of signings, Harvey Elliott being the piece de resistance, and you thought promotion.
Yes, definitely. And Harvey Elliott's a very good player. He's looked good since he's come in. As Barry Douglas, the new left back from Leeds, he's obviously got a wicked left foot. I don't know about his defending yet. Tom Tribal, no, not convinced. Stuart Downing's come back today.
Right.
37-year-old Stuart Downing.
Oh,
is he 65? 37, mate. So desperate times and all that.
Desperate times, 6 games into a new season. I mean,
desperate times when promotion was on the cards 8 minutes ago.
So we've got Middlesbrough home tomorrow, and whether I even get it on iFollow, I'm not sure. It's been that bad the last couple of games.
What's going wrong, do you think?
They can't defend. The manager is a fraud. And it's just poor. It's just all round poor. It really is. I don't even know. There's no direction. Mid-table. Pathetic.
Within the pilot last week, and I wouldn't recommend anyone listens to that, but you mentioned that you would want Alan Kirbishley to take over from Tony Mowbray. Is that still something that you would like the Venkies to pursue?
Yes, definitely. And obviously, last week, that was before we lost 4-2 to Reading, before we lost 2-0 to Swansea. Yeah, the sooner the better. If they're not on the phone to Kerbs right now, I'd be disappointed.
He hasn't managed a football team in 12 years, man.
It's his time. Well, you have to come back sometime, surely.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to come back. Let him retire.
Well, if he's out of the question, Mark Hughes.
Oh, God, we're not doing Mark Hughes again.
I mean, Mark Hughes is far more realistic because, you know, he's not on his pension. I mean, Poor Kerbs is doing crap Paddy Power adverts now, just to remind people he's around.
Well, that's what I mean. So surely he wants the opportunity to get back into the Premier League for one last
game. Why would he go to Blackburn then?
Because the players are there. The players are there. There's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, it's the lack of ideas. They don't defend. We used to be unable to score, and it's like he's got us down in pre-season and said, right, lads, we've been unable to score, so we'll abandon defence and just go all out. And it just doesn't work.
Yeah. At what point do the Venky, so let's be honest, continue to plough money into the club? At what point do you think the Venky say enough's enough?
I don't know. We hear nothing from him. You know what I mean? That's one thing you could throw at him. They don't really know football, to be honest. So I don't know who's advising him, so I say.
Yeah.
But hopefully soon.
Yeah.
He just doesn't inspire confidence either. You know what I mean? He's not like a young, charismatic man who you think, hey, he could turn this around. You know what I mean? He's not a Solskjaer.
Honestly, there's so many things wrong with the bullshit that you say. Honestly, first of all, you said that you want Mark Hughes back, and then in the next breath, you say we want a young, exciting manager. Mark Hughes,
Alan Kirby, who's 80 years old and hasn't managed in 12 years, but we also need a young, exciting manager.
Strangey, Villa, exciting game.
Very exciting game. I almost turned off about the 55-minute mark. The scoreline definitely flattered us, 4-3. I mean, yeah, it looked... You know, you look at that at the end of the game, if you've not seen anything, and go, bloody hell, tight game that. It really wasn't. They were absolutely far and away better than us for the first hour of the game. And then for some reason, I don't know what happened, but around the 59, 60th minute, we decided, we realised we were actually playing football that day. I was like, oh, we should probably give it a go and try something now. And we looked really good for like 20 minutes, but how much of that is down to Southampton just thinking this is one, foot off the gas, letting us play a bit? Yeah, terrible. First half, as poor as I've seen in quite a while. I go back to pre-lockdown when we were really scraping the bottom of the league and trying to pick up points to go to a first half performance that bad. As I say, second half, nice to get a few goals and nice that the scoreline wasn't as embarrassing as it probably should have been. But yeah, it flattered us a little bit, just being realistic. Another day that would have ended 4-0, 5-0, and probably wouldn't have been, you know, wouldn't have been unfair to Southampton if it ended like that, really. They just took the foot off the gas, I think. That's what I'm putting it down to. We played some decent stuff second half, but because we had time to, because we had chance to, because they weren't pressing as high up the pitch as they had been the first half. So, yeah, bad day at the office, mate, I must admit.
How was it that within the WhatsApp group did you describe James Ward-Prowse's or the impact of Jade Ward-Prowse's free kick?
Honestly, it's absolutely ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it in my life. The guy has three set pieces, right, in the space of 5 minutes. He puts two in the top bin that the keeper's absolutely nowhere near and puts one right on the head of his biggest centre-half. I don't get it. He's like a footballer who can't actually play when the game's moving, but as soon as it stops, he's the best player on the planet. Have you seen them free kicks?
I haven't seen them yet, no.
Honestly.
Nah, I was working on Sunday, wasn't it? Yeah, I was working yesterday, so I missed it. Well, I missed the first half. You played quite well in what I saw, but... Obviously, you were 4-0 down by that point.
We were 4-0 down when we started playing well, mate. So not a good advert for when to start, you know, giving it a bit. But genuinely, the two free kicks, they are just, like, you can't save them. He guesses the right way both times. Sorry, the first time. He dives full stretch across the goal. Big lad in nets as well, Martinez. He's nowhere near it. It's a postage stamp. Honestly, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then the second one, he doesn't even move. It just flies into the top corner again. I've never seen out like it. The guy's a dead ball specialist, but I say it again, when the game's actually being played, he's not that good. So I don't understand it.
Yeah. I believe it was a first Premier League start for Bertrand Traore. How did he get on?
He went off with a hamstring injury 15 minutes in.
God.
No, really good.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I started him. I thought, fucking hell, nice to see him playing, actually. Really want to see what he can do. First 5 minutes, he got the ball, beat a man, went down the line. I think he won either a throw-in right in the corner or a corner. And I thought, yeah, it looks quite promising actually. And then he gets the ball. I think it's probably the second time he touches the ball, he gets it and just passes it out for a throw-in. And I thought, what's he doing, the fucking idiot? Turns out his hamstring had gone and he just fell on the floor. So, yeah, good. Really good. Trezeguet back on after that, after 15 minutes, just running around like a headless chicken. Yeah, superb.
And running not very quickly as well, I think it has.
He's not that quick. He's industrious. He's not that quick. He's not great on the ball. Very short.
Yeah. Oh, well. Not a great day for both of you clubs. Everton, on the other hand, was superb. Honestly, really good. Really good.
Newcastle, though. Oh, no. They're a bad team as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, Brucey, good old Steve Brucey, did a number on us. He really did, which I think he'll... I don't think he does it because he thinks anything special of Everton. I think that's just the way he plays. He gets lots of men behind the ball. You've got to have real quality out wide, I think. And Ancelotti made, let's call it an unconventional collection of decisions to not field a single winger. So we played Sigurdsson, Allen, Gomez, Decore, and who am I missing there? I'm missing
Delph,
one more. Delph. So all of those, no width whatsoever. And yeah, I mean, it was just really difficult. But as I said, I thought Brucey did well. It shows, though. Oh my God, the Everton first 11 is serious. You know, it's a top six side, maybe fifth or sixth. But as I said in the pilot, it wouldn't surprise me if we finished about seventh or eighth. Because as soon as you take out any of those lovely best players that we've got, the blend that they have together, we are back to pretty much relying on the attacking abilities of people that were there last year. And I feel sorry for some of them because I just don't think they should have been bought. Iwobi just shouldn't have been bought. I really don't understand. He should be playing for a team that dominates the ball, high up the pitch. He's quite quick over 2 or 3 yards, a little jink and a pass. That's him. And that's he was perfect at Arsenal for that as an impact sub. So you come to Everton and no, mate, we're shit. You've got to run.
I saw a stat and it was something like since without Richarlison in the team, I don't think your team's ever won a game.
No, never won.
Jesus, really?
Now, luckily, he's only missed in 3 years. Well, this is his third year, is it? Yeah. He has only missed 6 games. So, but yeah. I mean, even Calvert-Lewin, he just looks a different player without someone taking the eye of the opposition elsewhere. So they are not very good. United at home next week. No Richarlison still, but the beautiful little Colombian is back. Who, allegedly, by the way, you know, he picked up that injury in the Copite Derby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Testicle injury.
Ooh. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, got a very bad bruise on his testicle. And it was brilliant because the Twitter, or the tweet rather, that on probably Saturday night or something like that, that was tweeted out. There was just loads of women, Everton women fans saying, if the club require any services for this injury, please let me know. And I was telling my dad about it and he said, fuck the women. I'll join the queue.
I was going to say, where did your tweet land?
Yeah. I did send Andre Gomez eggplant emoji the other day for no reason.
He's not as good as you thought he was going to be, is he?
Do you know what? I just feel a bit sorry for him. I think, you know, when you get an injury that's so bad, you think that your foot's been removed. And every time someone comes near you, you look really frightened. That's just what it looks like.
Yeah, I must admit, I genuinely only watched about 10 minutes of the game yesterday, the first half, and then caught up on the highlights. But there was twice in those 10 minutes where it was kind of like a 50-50 or a 60-40. The ball ran away from him slightly, and he just looked like he didn't want to be anywhere near it. And I did feel a bit sorry for him, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, if he carries on like that, I mean, there's rumours, I don't know. The thing about Carlo Ancelotti is he doesn't bat away any things that give your trousers a twitch. You know, he just, even if it's absolute bollocks. So they asked him, there's this bizarre rumour going around that we're after Isco. They asked him in the press conference and he said, I remember working with Isco before and it was beautiful. Yeah, like, Carlo, what are you doing?
Yeah, absolute semi.
Ah, So imagine, you know, Andre Gomez leaves, Isco comes in. I mean, let's be honest, we'd all be on the turn, wouldn't we? That's a side that.
I'll tell you what, it's a fucking good looking side with Isco and Rodriguez in midfield, isn't it?
Yeah. Leanne, my girlfriend, she absolutely adores Calvert-Lewin. Like, as in, I think Calvert-Lewin does more for her than I do, which isn't hard, let's be honest. I look like a melted bit. But, right, shall we get on to our topics? I want to start because it's written down here on this piece of paper, but it's the topics we agreed earlier today. George, Jose, been in for a bit of stick since he's been back in England. Even though he went to Chelsea, won the title in the first year of his return, didn't do so well, got sacked, went to United, won, I think it was the Europa League and the FA Cup, maybe, I want to say.
He won treble, didn't he? I don't know if that was a Community Shield as well, but he definitely won three trophies that year.
Yeah. And then leaves United and then ends up at Spurs. People say that it was probably a bad decision or a bad fit, whatever you want to say. He looks like he's doing quite a good job. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're a difficult one because Pochettino was loved there, wasn't he? And even though he started badly that season, it was strange to sack someone the year after getting Spurs to a Champions League final, because obviously it's something they wouldn't have done before. But it's Jose Mourinho, isn't it? He's now on Instagram, which is fantastic if you've not seen it.
Well, don't call him Jose. That's not like that. You don't like that.
Well, he's not listening, is he?
How do you know? His name's Jose.
Jose.
Right. So yes, Jose. Anyway,
make it sound more Blackburn if you could. Say Jose.
Jose.
In a really Lancashire accent. That would be perfect. Anyway, sorry. Title.
Yes. So, anyway, so as I was saying, I think he's doing well, but that team is phenomenal. Well, that squad is phenomenal. Like, arguably, you could say the best squad in the league with the depth they have.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could argue it. I don't know who you'd be arguing with, because...
It certainly won't be arguing with me.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be... Well, because we'd just laugh at you, because it's a ridiculous notion. There is no arguing there. It's one of your stupid, stupid statements to try and rile someone up. Which actually is an argument, but it's not, is it? It's not as good as United's... it's not as good as City's or Liverpool's, is it?
Well, it's hard to say. Like I say, in the depth, you look at the bench, you've got the likes of Moura, Bale, you've got Dele Alli and Winks, who can't even get in the squad.
Right, but a squad is also the first 11 on the pitch, and Ben Davies is currently playing centre-half, so...
Is he? Right, well...
right, do you know when we said we were going to do these topics? Do you know anything about it? I've come to you first, and you don't even know who's playing for him.
Well, when did they last play? No, I missed the Brighton game. I missed last night. Obviously, I'm 3 hours ahead of you guys. It's a bit late for me watching that last night.
No, don't be daft, mate. I'm only joking. So, Ben Davies is playing at centre-back. Does that not suggest that he could improve the first 11?
Yeah, definitely the defence. The defence is the weak spot, obviously. But who played there a week? So, yeah, I guess Dyer steps in at times as well, and he's useless.
So, are they in the mix for the title, G?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm gonna retract something I said earlier in the season that was Man United will be the ones running Liverpool close.
Yeah. I wondered how long that would take.
Because that's not looking very likely at the minute, is it?
No, I mean, we'll do a whole section one week on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but right now I feel like it's been done to death by everyone.
Yeah, so for me, yes, Spurs will be right up there. Honestly, do you know what? Another one, Chelsea. Chelsea look like they're coming together now.
Right.
And with that team, I think they could push it. But I think Tottenham will challenge for the title, but I think it's Liverpool's. I think it's Liverpool's.
Okay,
I think they'll beat City this weekend and then 5 points clear.
So, strangely, let's be honest, not many people thought that Jose would be the first one that apparently was, according to Daniel Levy, was the first one on his list to replace Pochettino. You know, maybe a more progressive playing style for probably lazily me saying a more pragmatic Jose, but I'll tell you what, Jose is producing a team that's playing nice football at Spurs.
Yeah, I think, like you say, at the time when Pochettino, I was very surprised they sacked Pochettino. I think it's probably the wrong decision at the time. I think he deserved a bit more time after what he'd done at the club. But when they brought in Jose, as we like to call him, because that is his name, I love him. You know, I love him. I'm a massive fan of his, always have been. But you did wonder whether he would be the right fit for that kind of young, hungry team who seemed like they were certainly on the rise. But yeah, they're playing some really attractive stuff, some really, really lovely attacking football. They can't stop scoring. Like, they genuinely, I've written that on my notes, they just score all the time. They beat United 6-1. They put 7 past someone in Europe, I think. There's goals in the game every time they play. But I think G touched on it slightly. The weak spot is, I think, for me, centre-half. It has to be. I think they went from having Vertonghen and Alderweireld, who are probably the best partnership in the league of the last maybe 4 or 5 years, to having one of them and then just someone rotating in who isn't as good, whether it's Dyer, whether it's Sanchez, who's looked okay in spells, but he seems to have a bit of an injury issue quite often. And then Ben Davies is now playing there, who I don't think is the answer at all. Not a bad player at all, not a bad fullback, but he looks a bit shaky there. I just don't think it's his, really. They seem to have an inability to keep a clean sheet, no matter who they play. I think they've had one all season, and they've played some dross in Europe, and they've not, you know, they've played some, like Brighton, you'd expect a clean sheet. They concede, you know. And it was Jose's mantra, whether it were rightly or wrongly. He used to be able to frustrate teams and eke out 1-0s, 2-0s. He used to just shut up shop. You know, he got a bit of a reputation as being a bit negative, which I think was unfair, but he always had that knack of being able to shut teams out. And that's the worry for me. I think they can be in the mix, certainly, but they're going to need to tighten up at the back. They need a centre-half in January, I think.
I mean, you've just touched on it there. I was going to come to it next. That sort of notion that Jose creates a defensively minded team, that his football isn't particularly nice to watch. I mean, when you really look at it, he produced one of the most exciting teams, if not, you know, depending on where your allegiance is, if not the most exciting and versatile team in his first spell at Chelsea, if you remember some of the plays they had there, the Drogbas, the Lampards, Carvalhos. He then goes to Inter Milan, where he does ridiculously well. Some lovely football. There's Real Madrid. I'm right in saying, Honor, that he won the La Liga there. I must admit, I don't know too much about that team, but it's full of Galacticos. I can't imagine they played meat and potato football. Chelsea the second time. Gee, is Jose Mourinho given enough respect for the type of football that his teams play, or do most people just look at what he created at United and lazily suggest that his philosophy is to play dull, pragmatic football?
I don't know. It's an odd one, because I think a lot of it is kind of like down to how good he was at doing that. For example, when Barcelona were at their height, he was the one manager who, this is when he didn't have as good a team. You know what I mean? Like you say, when he had Chelsea, if they were playing Bolton on a weekend, he'd go and play him off park. But it's like the games. I remember the Inter v Barcelona game where they just shut up shot perfectly, hit him on the break. So I think it's things like that where you're looking, like, his biggest achievements have been against the likes of when Porto beat Man United, when Inter beat Barca. So that's kind of, you know what I mean? What's the word I'm looking for?
Don't know, G. What's the word you're looking for?
Oh, well, fucking hell, that's no help.
you think his reputation is aligned with those big victories, and in those victories, he tended to play a bit more negatively because of the occasion and the calibre of opposition, etc.
Yeah, exactly. And you know me, I am very much of the Big Sam mentality. You do what's effective. You win games. Spurs, he's played very... They look very good. They look very good. Like I said, but shit at the back, to be fair, which is strange, but good to watch.
Hmm. All right. Strange, anything to add on that? Do we unfairly picture Jose as a defensively minded manager when all his best teams, when he's had the buy-in from the players, which he maybe didn't have at United, certainly not as much as Chelsea, he's always produced nice football?
100%. I think he's really harshly criticised as a negative coach for some reason when he's done that on occasion. Of course he has. I mean, you look at the Porto team, he won the Champions League with. You're not going to go out there and play expansive open football against Man United in the Pomp, are you? You know, he's done it on occasion, but that just shows his versatility as a coach because he's absolutely smashed teams off the park with attractive, free-flowing football as well. As I said, I love him. You know my thoughts on him. I think he is the greatest coach in football history, personally. I know that's up for debate, but I think I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism for his negativity because I just don't think it's that true, really.
All right, let's look at the other end of the table. Let's look at the moment, where do we think, or what do we think, rather, that bottom three is going to look at come the end of the season? G, let's come to you first. Who's going down this year?
Well, West Brom have just lost 2-0 to Fulham, so I think we can guarantee they are. I think West Brom and Fulham, to be honest, there's just no Premier League quality in either side, is there?
I mean, the only one I would say for Fulham is I do think, from experience of seeing him myself, I do think Anamola Luckman is he's a match winner for them. I think he is good. Whether he's enough to keep them up by himself, I totally agree, is another matter. Who would your third pick be?
Well, I'm going for what I imagine will be a popular one amongst all football fans, Burnley. Who are just horrible, aren't they? They've been playing horrible football for years.
Now,
horrible.
Now, I'm going to come back at you there because you're talking absolute truffle. Simply because you love effective football. Is there not a more effective manager in the Premier League, arguably it consistently in Premier League history, that has a budget that he has? He has the players that he therefore can acquire and almost guarantees Premier League football for Burnley every year.
Yeah, you're right. He's done very well. But I think the thing is with Burnley is it was always going to come to an end, weren't it? I think it's the same with Bournemouth. Like, you can say how well Eddie Howe did, but eventually
he's
just not good enough.
Expand on that point, though. What makes you think, other than the fact that you're a Blackburn fan and you hate Burnley, what makes their football terrible and, let's say, Sam Allardyce's at Blackburn, you know, the beautiful togger that you like to suggest it is?
Because Sam Allardyce had some lovely players in there. When we speak about Jose, if there is one man who's unfairly been labelled as crap football, it's Big Sam. Because he's never played ugly football, really. I don't know. You've got Chris. Just look at all the players. They're just very meh.
Yeah, I mean,
what a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, I would imagine that your rivalry is probably getting in the way of any common sense, G. And the only reason I say that is if Blackburn were in the Premier League and Sean Dyche was manager and you had Chris Wood and Sam Vokes up the top of the pitch and you were launching it in there, you would be telling us that he is a potential manager of the year.
Maybe. Who knows? That's all, you know what I mean? You can't really say that, can you, until it happens?
Yeah, until it happens. So until then, Sean Dyche is shit and Burnley are going down.
Sean Dyche has done well, mate. Sean Dyche has done well. I'm surprised he's not gone to a real football club. But no, I think their time's up now. I look at them. They're just getting dicked every week, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not looking good. What about you, stranger?
I made my notes before the Fulham West Brom game, so it might sound a bit daft when I'm talking about Fulham, but I still stand by this. Fulham, bottom of the league for me, one of the worst teams I've ever seen in Premier League history. Genuinely a torrid football team. They're playing three blokes who look like my dad at centre half, and their keeper. I mean, He was at PSG, their keeper? Areola, is he?
Areola. I think he was, you know.
Was yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Leon, I think he doesn't realise he has hands. Genuinely, I've never seen a man flap at a football more. He's pathetic. When we talk about worst keepers in the league and we always slam Pickford, I forgot he was in the league. He's that bad. So he's the worst in the league. He has to be. Yeah, they're a banker for me. Rock bottom. They just don't have... I think Luckman is, yeah, not a bad pickup. And I also, this is going to sound weird, but I do like Tom Kearney for them. He's a nice little footballer. However, they're not good enough. They will not stay up. I think they'll finish bottom. Second bottom, West Brom. They're a bit of a yo-yo club anyway, aren't they? Seems to be the way. They go up, they come down, they go up, they come down. They're not very good. There's not enough quality or Premier League experience in their side, I don't think. And you need at least one, but usually a bit of both. It's a shame because I do like Slaven Bilic. I think he's a good coach and he's done quite well there. But it's not that much of a shame because I really don't like that club. They're not very good. Lastly, I've gone for Sheffield United. I'm sticking with my predictions from a few weeks. I think we made some predictions in the WhatsApp group before a ball was kicked, or maybe after one game. I'm sticking with Sheffield United. I mean, they had a really good season last season, but they have not bought well for me. Yeah, I think you just scratch your head with some of the signings. They've bought championship-ish calibre players. Brewster is the one that springs to mind for big money. I do like Chris Wilder. He's obviously done an absolutely amazing job there, but I think they'll get found out a lot more this season now that people are a bit more aware of the system. I think it took a few people by surprise last year, and why wouldn't it when your fucking centre-halves are playing centre-forward half of the game? It's just bizarre, but I think it's getting a little bit exposed now, and couple that with everyone being, the new signings being a bit, not real great impact players for me, and I think they'll probably go down this year.
He played well at City.
What was the score in that game? Did they get a draw out of that?
No, 1-0. 1-0 City.
Yeah.
But, I think they'll beat Team Sheffield United. They graft.
They are a team of grafters, yeah. I must admit. And to be fair, I like them. I think they've done it the right way. You know, they're a good little side. They brought up the team, basically, that got them up, and they managed to finish, was it like 8th, 9th last year?
Yeah.
Phenomenal achievement, but I don't know. I just think the wheels will come off a little bit this year.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree with that. If let me ask you this, if there's a fourth team in the mix, who is it?
Burnley probably going off what George has said. I think it eventually does run out that they're not spending big money on players and making do with what you've got. I think it does come to an end eventually. And granted, I'm basing it solely off the start they've had as well. They have been shit so far. They might turn it round. And I don't mind Burnley. I think, like you said, Holmes, they do what they've got to do to win. It's effective. It's a bit boring and shit to watch at times, but they somehow get it done a lot of the time. So it would be a shame to see them go down because, again, they're another club who's kind of overachieved for quite a while, but I think you'd have to put them in the mix so far.
I don't think it'd be that much of a shame, mate.
G?
Well, no, of course you don't.
G, what about you?
Fourth team, I've got... I'll go Brighton, I think.
You don't think Graham Potter's done enough to with the football that they play to keep them safe?
No, they look good at times as well. They do look good at times. I do feel bad for them in a way, but I don't know. It's hard to pick teams now, isn't there? It's quite a difficult one. Like I say, Newcastle definitely have enough to get enough points. I think Palace do as well. Palace are well organised. Yeah, I think, yeah, Sheffield United, Brighton, Burnley and the other two who've come up. I think them two are guaranteed. I think Fulham and West Brom will be adrift.
100%.
And then it's between two or three.
Yeah, I would just throw in as well, probably controversially, but I would really like to see what Leeds are looking like after Christmas. We've seen previously with Phil Brown, I think I mentioned on the pilot, he brings Hull up, flying at the beginning. And I'm certainly not suggesting Phil Brown is as good as Bielsa. But I just don't know. I just think playing that way, do you get figured out in the end? Don't know. don't know. They've probably got enough points on the board now, actually, to keep them away from the crap at the bottom. But I don't know. I think you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful flogging your horse as much as he is.
He's got a bit of a rep as Bielsa, hasn't he, for his team's fizzling out. You know, I was reading about it actually a few days ago. I think they call it Bielsa ball or whatever. And he's got a bit of a rep for when it gets to 2/3 into the season, all his players just being absolutely fucked because they've run themselves into the ground.
Mm.
And they normally
play that murder ball, don't they?
Yeah.
What's that? What's murder ball?
Basically, they have training sessions where there's just no rules. So you just kick fuck out of each other and.
What?
Do what you want.
That can't be true.
Yeah, look it up, mate.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Thank you. Right. So, yeah, we're pretty agreed on Fulham and West Brom and then one of the others. I mean, I've got a mate who supports Newcastle and I really, really like him, but there'll be something quite poetic and beautiful about Newcastle going down. But I can't imagine it'll happen.
And it, Callum Wilson's a great signing, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Brucey's done well again. You know, I keep calling him Brucey like I know him. But look at... what's the little fella called? Scottish fella? Ryan Fraser.
Yeah, doing all right.
Yeah. Freebie.
Nice little pick up that. He has made some decent signings.
Yeah, I think he's good. All right. So before we go on to our last topic, here's a few words from our sponsor.
Managed to secure a big one this week, guys. After the first pilot episode, obviously we had some biggies. Don't get me wrong, cakes and notepads, still sponsors of the show. But this week, fucking duvets. Duvets. Yeah, they heard the pilot, they jumped on. They wanted us to mention how reliable they are, how warm they are, comforting. It's getting that season now, isn't it? You've got to rely on your old duvet. So, big shout out to duvets. Thanks for sponsoring the show. We love you, duvets.
Well done, Tom, on Strangey, on continuing to secure great sponsorship deals for the show. I heard that last one, duvets, pretty lucrative.
Yeah, I'm just on the phone all the time. You know, I'm just on the phone all the time. I'm making calls. I'm trying to further the product. But yeah, mate, huge.
Yeah.
Huge. They've signed up for a full season. So yeah, really excited about that one.
Wow. And I meant to ask you with the pilot, but with regards to cakes, was there any cake in particular or is it just the cake family?
It's just cakes, mate. Yeah, just cakes. General cakes, yeah. Yeah, all of them.
Because if I'm honest, I can't really imagine sort of Battenberg's getting on well with Bakewell Tarts. So the idea that they've all come together, clubbed together, and gone, no, do you know what? Let's make a sort of community stand here. And let's.
No, but they got in touch with me, mate. You know, they said, we just want to be a part of it.
When you say they, I mean, who specifically did you speak to?
I think it was Mr. Kipling. Yeah, Bakewell tarts, almond slices, lemon cake, everything, mate. And they were really passionate about it.
Just to confirm again, who are they?
Cakes, mate. I thought I said it was cakes.
Right, thank you very much to Duvets for sponsoring this week's show, and again, thanks to Strangey for securing new business. And new revenue streams, which we'll obviously use for marketing and, all of the software. And I mean, this show isn't just recorded on an app. You know, it's far more than that. We're all in the studio here, aren't we?
Yeah, social distancing, like.
Social.
We've got a great little studio set up here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, occasionally you can hear my missus running the sink in the studio, which is a bit annoying. But just getting all the mod cons, you know, we're looking to take off. Again, we're two episodes in, you know, I'm under no illusions that at the moment we're on a minimal studio here, but we'll start buying some kits soon with the money that's flying in.
Yeah.
We do. Well, I had a missed call when I went shower before. I don't know if that was Spotify and I missed it. But...
Oh, God. Right. Okay. Next question. Strangey, who's the best player in the Premier League?
Okay. So, if we're talking the best player ability wise, Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
He has to be. He has to be. He's the best footballer in the league. He must be. He can do everything. He is a wonderful attacking talent, obviously. Creates just at will. He has worked so hard on the defensive side of his game. He's just, he is literally just a complete midfielder, isn't he? You couldn't ask for anything more from him.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. If we're going off current form and sort of, you know, how it's happening now, honourable mention, obviously, to my boy Jack Grealish. He's playing out of his skin still for a team who, let's be honest, are a little bit beneath him at this point, but I'm happy that he's stuck around. But for me, the best player in the league at the moment is Harry Kane. He's playing out of his skin. He's playing at an elite level, probably the best I've ever seen him play. I was reading up on just a few of the players in the mix before. He's played 7 games this season and he's scored 6 goals and has 8 assists. That is just lunacy.
That's incredible, isn't it?
He's just fantastic. I think he's one of the top 3 out and out centre forwards in the world. I put him in there with Lewandowski and Aguero probably as the other 3. However, with Aguero being out injured at the moment, he's absolutely the division's best. He's just a ludicrous talent. He's the whole package. Again, he is the quintessential centre forward. You couldn't ask for more from him. And as a creator in that role, he's just second to none for me. He's just flying at the moment and he can't be touched as far as current form for me.
Lots of things to digest there. I mean, just throw in, would you not consider right now Cristiano Ronaldo to be a number 9?
See, that's the thing, isn't it? I think with him and certainly with Messi as well, I think with Ronaldo, definitely he's closer to what you would class as a centre-forward at the moment rather than Messi as well. But I've always viewed them as wingers, really, like outside players who have made a career from dropping in at false 9 and coming inside and scoring the goals and that kind of thing. So to me, I don't see him personally as an out-and-out centre-forward, but I guess it's open for interpretation. I certainly wouldn't begrudge someone saying that he is one and he is obviously in that category. But
so, yeah, he makes your top 3 if you class him as a number 9, no?
Oh, of course. I mean, it's impossible not to. Any of the guys are machines. Yeah, his goal-scoring record speaks for itself, doesn't it? It's silly, really.
On Kevin De Bruyne, I mean, is there a risk, as ridiculous as this sounds, that we, especially with lockdown imminent, the fact that there's no fans in, the fact that Manchester City aren't staying in the Champions League for as long as they can, or should, I should say, rather. Is there a risk that we're running out of time with Kevin De Bruyne? 29 years of age now. Does he need to leave in order to become one of the true best players of the Premier League history?
Well, yeah.
Which is a strange thing to say, I guess. Does he need to leave to be a Premier League great? No, forget that. Does he need to leave to become a world great?
I think no matter what happens with De Bruyne from this point on, I think he's carved enough of a legacy in the Premier League to consider him certainly one of the Premier League's all-time great midfielders. Definitely. He's 100% in that category for me. But I do see what you're saying. I think there is a danger, really. I think the big thing is the Champions League, isn't it? I think every player, certainly at his level, that is the trophy that everyone wants their hands on. That and obviously the World Cup for your national team. That is the one, isn't it? And I think, you know, we always often joke, obviously, outside of the podcast with George about him seeing Pep as a failure for not winning it. But I think if they don't get to the final or, you know, pick it up this year, his head might turn. He might think, I could quite comfortably slot into Real Madrid's midfield or Barcelona's midfield. Anyway, he could go anywhere in the world. But certainly when you look at Madrid, they've got Modric, who's, what, 34 now. He's going to be coming to the end of his career. Barcelona in a full rebuild mode, it seems. These are teams that, if they come sniffing, it wouldn't surprise me at all if his head got turned. And it would be a shame for us as Premier League fans, obviously, but it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Gee, what do you think? So, no, the point that I'm making with no fans is that, you know, Kevin De Bruyne might say, well, this is the greatest league in the world with the greatest atmosphere in the world, providing I, you know, finish as one of the all-time greats in the Premier League, that's enough for me. But is there another argument to say, well, you know, if the Premier League isn't producing at the moment because of the no fans in the stadium, some of that incentive to stay at 29, Is he running out of time to go and win things? And are we running out of time to, as fans, to enjoy Kevin De Bruyne getting to the very top of the game?
I guess so. The thing is, when you say about moving, like Strange mentioned, Real Madrid, Barcelona there, neither of them look good, which is probably, I mean, the bigger clubs, obviously, but you wouldn't necessarily look at them and say they have more chance of winning the Champions League than City. I think I look at it now and think Bayern Munich are so far ahead of everyone else, it seems, that's the move. If they come in, I'd say that's where you're going to go and win things. I mean, but you're not going to go and work for Ronald Koeman, 12th in the league, are you?
What about Liverpool? Could he go to Liverpool? Well, let me ask you this instead. Does he have more chance of winning the Champions League at Liverpool?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Whether he gets in the team is a different matter. But...
You're not sure that Kevin De Bruyne gets in the Liverpool midfield?
I don't know. Yeah, probably. But they'd have to play two. Yeah, if they played Hendo, Fabinho, but that would mean Thiago. You know what I mean? Why would Liverpool just sign Thiago? Do you come in and chuck loads of money at Kevin De Bruyne?
I don't think. Forget the realism of the transfer happening. Just simply is. If you were Kevin De Bruyne and you were thinking, nah, now's the time, I've got to leave, are Liverpool one of the clubs that you'd be looking at as a way of progressing your career?
Yeah, 100%. They've got more chance to win it league, more chance to win Champions League. They've got a better coach. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Who's your best player in the league? Where's your vote going?
Right, well, I'm going to go the way Strange did it then. So, ability-wise, I'm going to go Gareth Bale.
All right.
Because I just think he's arguably the best player that Britain's produced in God knows how long. Since Alan Shearer.
What, more so better than Wayne Rooney?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, better than Wayne Rooney. What he's done, he's gone to Madrid and he's just, you know what I mean, 3 Champions Leagues in a row. The amount of finals he scored in. The trophies they won when he was there. I think he's been unbelievable. And how old is he? 31?
31, yes.
Yeah, so he's not, you know what I mean? He's not old. He's obviously, I think it's put a bad look on him, the fact that he didn't play for so long for Madrid, because for whatever reason. But yeah, for me, ability wise, I think he's probably the best.
Now, I have to ask, G, because I think it's fair to say, isn't it, that. You know, you might say something sometimes that you don't necessarily mean. Would that be fair?
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
So to give you an example, we had a conversation no more than 2 weeks ago, and you said Jordan Henderson is the best player in the league.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming to. So ability-wise, I'd say Bale. As an all-round player, if I could have anyone in the league in my team, if I were building a Premier League team, he'd be the first player I'd pick.
Who's that, sorry?
Jordan Henderson.
Elaborate, please.
I think he's just the tall package. He's a leader. He just makes the whole team better. His positional awareness is fantastic. I think he's just a fantastic player. And like I say, I think he's a big part of what Liverpool have done over the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I'd like to say he'd be the first name on a team sheet for me in any Premier League side.
So I don't want this to sound like a rebuke, but I'm just going to list some players, and Strange, you feel free to jump in as well. And George, just to reconfirm whether this Jordan Henderson would get in your first name on the team sheet, whatever we want to call it, calculation or. You know, it meets the test. So let's start with Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, definitely.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Sergio Aguero.
Yeah.
Harry Kane.
Yes, but Harry Kane's a close one. For what? Yeah, I like Harry Kane.
Yeah.
And the fact that England looks so shit just shows how bad Southgate is with some of the players. But
Son?
But Son. Yeah, again, still Henderson.
Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, definitely Henderson. There's no point listening anymore, mate. He's number one.
Well, I'll give you two more. Mo Salah.
Henderson.
Virgil van Dijk.
Henderson.
Right. Well, that's the end of the podcast, because why would anyone continue to listen to this?
Yeah, nice one, George. The duvet's just pulled out.
Yeah.
I do like as well with the whole... I've got a Liverpool fan, by the way. I'm just a big fan of Jurgen Klopp. What were we going to say then? How everyone thought Liverpool would fall apart without Van Dijk, and I think, what, they've conceded one goal in the four games since he's been injured, and that shouldn't have counted.
Yeah. What about you, Strange? What do you think? John Henderson, best player in the league other than Kevin De Bruyne?
No, not for me. I like Jordan Henderson. I actually do rate him very highly as a player. I think he is one of the top midfielders in the league. He is all round. He's for me, he's not exceptional at one thing, but he's very good at nearly everything. So he would absolutely be in the conversation for some of the best midfielders in the league. However, to put him ahead of players like Kevin De Bruyne, Bruno Fernandes, even, who I'm a bit weary of, but he's very, very good. To put him ahead of some of these elite midfielders is, I want to say I can understand George's thinking, because he is a bit more of an all-rounder than these players were saying. I'd probably say apart from Kevin De Bruyne, but it's just, it's fucking lunacy to say you put him in your team ahead of Kevin De Bruyne. It just is. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, you know, it's what you're after, isn't it? It's like I'd put Roy Keane in my team before Paul Scholes. And I know Paul Scholes is a bad example because he's not very good, but
right.
It's what you want, isn't it? You know what I mean? I think that's what you should build your team around.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan Henderson at his role at Liverpool is outstanding. I think tactically, the way that he's part of a three-man midfield and he's in charge of the three-man midfield that locks the game into the final third is unbelievable. I honestly believe that the way that Klopp's midfield functions as three guys who can play the ball. I mean, look at Thiago. He's come in and he's flying around making interceptions. And what they do is they just create lots and lots of pressure. He's gone, Klopp, from this sort of, I hate that phrase, gegenpressing, whatever the fuck it's called. So he's gone from this high press team to high pressing, yes, but also what they do is they now attack from the back. It can be a little bit direct at times. Again, the final third, and that midfield just cages the game in. And that's why they score so many goals. That's why they concede so few with that high line. That's what's interesting about the Villa result, is that Jamie Carragher was constantly talking about that high line. And the fact that Liverpool was stopping, the ball was flying through that line and they weren't dropping off. Yeah, absolutely. Jesus Christ, Jamie Carragher knows far more about football than I do. But I think it was the way in which Villa played out of what is usually that block. Liverpool were on an off day, don't get me wrong. But it was really interesting to see Dean Smith work on this idea of how do we get round that block. And John, as I say, John Henderson is outstanding at leading that. I think he should have got player of the year. I really do think he should have got player of the year. And I'm not so sure what else Jordan Henderson can do and not get player of the year. He was captain of the team that won the league, the World Club Cup, the Champions League, all in 18 months. I mean, what can he do?
Is Rodriguez in the chat, Hobbs?
Yeah, for me, if we're talking about ability, he's the second best player in the league for me. But what he doesn't have are the physical attributes that make the all-round package in the top two or three. So, for example, James Rodriguez, in my opinion, is a more talented technical footballer than Harry Kane. But Harry Kane is physical. He can win the ball in the air. He's actually more dynamic than James Rodriguez, who really can't run a lot. Yeah, it's very strange to see him sort of amble round. But if you're putting the ball on his foot, yeah, there's only Kevin De Bruyne that's better in the league for me. I've never, ever seen anyone play for Everton like he can. And he should not be playing for Everton. He should be playing for United or Chelsea or someone like that. It's absolutely nuts.
I've seen the phrase Poundland Jack Grealish batted around quite a lot in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I saw that as well because you took a picture of your notes before. So when you say he's batted around, it's just you writing things on a piece of paper.
How much Rodriguez is what you get when you order Jack Grealish off Wish?
No, am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. In terms of pure talent, is James Rodriguez not in the mix?
No, he is, definitely. He absolutely has to be, doesn't he? The guy's a magician with a ball at his feet. As simple as that. You know, he's, like you say, not very physical, not very quick. And a lot of the times for players who are less talented than him, you get found out so quickly with that, you're not cut out for it. But because of his ability, I want to say hindrances, but that's a bit disrespectful. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those physical hindrances are masked by his pure fucking togger.
Yeah, I
mean, he's good.
The issue that he's going to have, I thought Southampton were brilliant against Everton because whereas teams sort of open up against us a little bit and Hammers just, he loves that jink inside. He takes the ball back to goal quite a lot, jinks inside. You just see Dina or Richarlison legging it on the other side of the pitch. He plays it in, opens up space and then come back inside towards goal. What Southampton did is they just congested that pocket of the pitch. And so the ball comes anywhere near him and they're just basically battering him. And he's got a big job on, I think, to get over that. It wouldn't surprise me if in 3 or 4 months we're talking about James Rodriguez as being the most luxury of the luxury players. He's not really cut out for the league. At the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets player of the month a couple of times and he's, you know, people are saying, why is he playing for Everton when it becomes more sort of renowned that he's so much better? But if you stick 2 or 3 people on him, block him in, can he play the way that without that bit of pace? I'm not so sure. That would be my only question mark. But ability wise, you must agree, he is right up there.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he looks very good, mate. Very good.
I think, the best player in the league is Kevin De Bruyne. I think he's unbelievable for everything strange he said. I don't think he should leave. I think that he should stay there, even if that means him not winning the Champions League. There's lots of fantastic players that have never won the Champions League. I wouldn't worry about it too much. He's probably making £500,000 a week as well. It's hardly a bad consolation, is it?
It's not, no. It's not.
He probably lives all right.
It's ambition, isn't it? It's ambition. It's like Jack Grealish staying at Villa. You know what I mean?
That's not a bad point, to be honest. I mean, you go back to that, Strangey. Does it show a lack of ambition, that Jack Grealish signing that big contract?
No, not at all. I think it's just... I think if an offer comes in for him, they'll still go. I think it's just protecting their investment. You know? He's on mega money now, as he should. Well, not mega money, but he's on 6 figures a week, which he should be because he's a top footballer. He deserved that, and it wouldn't surprise me if there's something in the contract that says, "Look, offer comes in this much, of course you can go." I think there wasn't, there was all those rumours in the summer. Bit of interest, but there wasn't like a real significant hard offer from anybody. So he probably thought, well, look, I'm happy staying here because it's my boyhood club. Still want that big move when it comes, but for now, I might as well get what I can, get what I deserve out of the club. And it's Villa protecting their investment, isn't it? They can't let his contract run out and go, oh, he's going to fuck off to someone on a free or get to the last 12 months and have to cut price him. So I think it's just good business all around.
Really. No, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, I think we're nearly at the end of the show now. The last thing that I've got written down here is a new feature that I'd like to test out, if I may. So you've both got roughly 30 seconds to explain a couple of reasons why you don't like our friend, and for the listeners who have no idea who we're talking about. And we have a friend we've known a long time, and he really is the worst. and his name is Charlie Cornwell. Just tell me, Strangey, why do you dislike Charlie Cornwell?
He sent me a video of him eating a pie the other day, set to like a Benny Hill type soundtrack. He was just sat on his couch eating.
And he'd speeded it up, if that's the right word.
He sped it up to this soundtrack, just fast motion eating a pie, and he didn't even look at the camera. He was just watching telly. So he's just filming himself, eating a pie, watching the TV, sped up to a soundtrack that I had no idea what it was, and then just the video and sends it to me. And that was with no pretext, no context whatsoever, just a random Tuesday afternoon.
It was really sort of, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
No, and I did particularly hate the bit where he showed the empty bowl at the end.
Yeah, he did that. As if it wasn't clear enough that he'd eaten the pie from me watching him fucking eat it for 2.5 minutes. He showed a picture of the empty plate there. Yeah.
George, he's actually your brother. Why do you dislike him?
It's hard to say, mate, because I've not seen this Benny Hill video, thankfully. But he's just a bit of a knob. I don't want to say too much, because I don't think Spotify really go for too much Charlie Cornwell based.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, I mean, you know, we're doing it purely for comedic reasons. You know, let your inhibitions go, G. Just give us one example of something that, you know, you really don't like him for.
He's just a big ginger wanker.
All right. Well, that is the end of this week's Tales of Toggers. Hope everyone has enjoyed it. We certainly have, haven't we, chaps?
Yeah, I loved it, man.
We'll be back after the next round of fixtures. And then the week after, it will be international break, where we will sink our teeth into all topics Gareth Southgate, which I'm sure will be enjoyable. Chaps, I'll speak to you in about 30 seconds when we carry on talking rubbish in the WhatsApp group.
Cheers, guys.